You're listening to Like a Real Boss podcast, where we go beyond the title and unravel the complexities of being a boss. If you're a head honcho, top dog, or queen bee, this is for you. Get insight from experienced leaders and passionate workers. This is your wake-up call. Ready to get bossified? Now, your host and the real-life boss, Tiana Sanchez.
Welcome and thank you for joining another episode of Like a Real Boss. This is your host, Tiana Sanchez. And as always, we are excited that you decided to tune in to our show. Not sure how you found us or how you're listening. Want to remind you that you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. And when you're done, please help us out. Go ahead and leave a review. It boosts our ratings and we would love to hear from you. We take into account what you're interested in. And so we do our best to find great guests and topics that are relevant to you. So this is the place where you get tips, tricks, trends, tools, where we talk about the stuff so you can be a better boss podcast. And so I'll leave my whole story to the side because we have a better story today. But if you're ever interested in why I started the podcast in the first place, you may want to go back to our archives and take a listen there. Plus, there's so many great episodes anyway. So without further ado, I want to introduce our guest today. And we're going to be talking about a subject that really, I would say, kind of burst onto the scene, this particular group of individuals, when we talk about this category of individuals, gig workers, and it burst onto the scene several years ago. And this particular guest is going to talk about how she's been able to really leverage and help small businesses to run their businesses, leveraging some of these gig workers. So I want to introduce Liz Goddard. She is the co-founder of Bosun, and she's on a mission to give the small business owner, I love this, a nimble and profitable business. Love that. But more importantly, like many entrepreneurs and small business owners, Liz has a story. She started her first business at the age of 19 because she inherited it. But because of the recession, as we all know, back in 2007, 2008, the recession hit and it affected her business. But she came back with a fierce mission and goal. And now she is running Bosun, and I'm going to give her an opportunity to talk more about what her company does and how it aligns to this these gig workers. And so, Liz, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Tiana. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, thank you for giving us an opportunity to talk to you today. I, again, as a business owner to business owner, loved chatting with individuals, especially in their businesses, and to find out how they got started and why you're doing what you're doing and essentially how it's going to help us all out, right? So I know I gave a very brief introduction, but I'm sure our guests want to hear how you got started. What was the impetus to you creating Bosun? So if you can share with us a little bit about that.
My Genesis story, if you will, kind of start at the beginning. So Bosun makes so much sense if you learn about how it came to be and how I came to be, you know, and you mentioned it briefly. I was kind of thrust into entrepreneurship. I am not your typical entrepreneur as much as I'm kind of risk advertent and I'm kind of nervous all the time, but I inherited my father's business when I was 19. My brother and I did that. It happened really suddenly. Actually, I was studying abroad. I was in college. I was studying abroad in Italy and I got a call. He wasn't doing well. I came home the next day he passed. And all of a sudden, I was balancing college, I was balancing grieving, and I was balancing now running this business with my brother. So we sat on the board of directors. That was in 2006. And then without knowing and not having a crystal ball that 2008, everything would implode, we scaled quickly. So we opened two more retail chains. We expanded our wholesale division. And by the time the recession hit, we had just really over leveraged ourselves financially. And not to mention now I was, 21 at that point, 2008 hit, and just didn't know what I was doing. And so I had a really quick learning curve. And ultimately, we had to dissolve it. We didn't make it through the recession. And it just left me incredibly downtrodden. I mean, I never wanted to be a business owner. It was thrust upon me. It was a horrible experience. I felt like I had just ruined my father's legacy. And I actually walked away saying, I'll never own another business again. I just was so overwhelmed by it. And then I started a career in human resources, which I loved. I loved the people aspect. I loved learning about larger businesses. I was a fintech company where I grew my career for 7+ years. grew it from 99 employees to 500. And I loved it until I started getting this itch again, the entrepreneurial itch, which I just completely denied in myself for so long because I was scared. But then it just felt like the right opportunity. And so I left my HR job that was thriving. And I joined my best friend and someone who I'd worked with a lot at the previous company. And we formed what is now called Bosun. And the idea of it is we want to make small businesses nimble. And the way we do that is through staffing. Because one of the biggest line items on an expense, P&L, in terms of expenses, is going to be staffing. And so we created these remote teams that didn't require brick and mortar. These were some of my kind of non-starters, if you will. I didn't want a brick and mortar. I wanted flexible staffing. And so we created that for our own business and then decided, how can we go help other businesses be recession-proof, scale quickly? And that's how Bosun was created.
Well, that is quite a story. And as you were sharing it, you talked about some really devastating news that you had to deal with at the onset of running this business. So not only were you 19, not only were you, you know, in college, but you also had to deal with the death of your father and all of that happening at once. And so on top of having to run a business, you know, going through the emotional roller coaster, I imagine, of having to do all that, did it take a toll on you emotionally? I know you said that the recession kind of hit, but just curious, during that time, how were you able to, again, I think for business owners would appreciate this, how were you able to deal with kind of the emotional strain, I guess, of all of that happening at the very beginning?
Well, I would tell you it, it was so stressful that I probably didn't even take time or realize the gravity of it. So it's a blessing in as much as I had so much going on that it kept me distracted, right, from the grieving process. But it was a balance, right? You had to find time. You almost had to like say, you don't have the luxury of breaking down. You know, you have to kind of, it sounds crazy, but you have to time block for grieving. And that sounds crazy and robotic, but ultimately it's just when you're forced to have to do heavy things along with just stressful things, it kind of finds its place.
Yeah. Well, and here's how I connect the dots to your particular story is that we have people running businesses who are very stressed right now, who have lost loved ones, who are dealing with a multitude of wearing hats and trying to do it all. Some are thriving right now and some are not doing so well. And so where I connect the dots is where in your experience, you are also assisting these individuals to say, you know what, we're going to be your SOS. We're going to be your life raft. We're going to help you maybe shave off some hours and help you do what you need to do so that you can be the best business owner that you can be. So when you talk about leaving your HR corporate job and for 7 years, which you said you loved and you were flourishing in that, that in itself, you know, leaving a cushy job is not easy, but it tells me that you were really passionate or that you really believed, okay, this time around, you know, I feel like this is it. This is a good time for me to start this business. So when you left your cushy job and started this with your best friend, why did you select this particular field of business, like remote working and, you know, helping businesses on the back end? Why that particular service?
I think it's two things. One is it made sense given my background. So it made sense because I had developed this career in human resources. So I became really good at understanding what businesses need, what it costs them, how it was ineffective. So it was just a world that I knew inherently now. And then you tie it back to small businesses, and really small businesses need the leverage of a larger corporation. They just can't afford them. They can't afford to hire someone in each, you know, quote, department, pay them 8 hours a day, pay the benefits, pay all of that stuff, because really they don't know, you know, what's coming in revenue wise. I mean, they're having to stay very, very nimble. And so it honestly fell into place, and it came up because my best friend actually had started a virtual assistant business. It was just her. She had executive assistant background, and she heard so often like, hey, I wish I could afford you, but just like 3 hours a week or 4 hours a week. And so when she left her corporate job, she said, okay, I'll call a couple of those people. And the people just kept coming. And she kind of tapped me and said, I don't want to do, like, I think there could be a business here. There's an influx of people who need quality, highly educated, highly experienced people, but just for a few hours a day. So in that sense, I had also reached a point in my career where I was looking for more balance. While I was thriving and I did love it, I wanted more balance from a work, play, life experience. And so it just, all the stars aligned, as they say, and I took the leap.
Well, and balance is something we certainly can appreciate, having to go from, you know, working at a location to working from home and navigating, you know, families and the household and kids returning to school and remote learning and all of these different things. You started your business prior to COVID, is that right?
Yes. Thankfully, had a few years before COVID hit. So we had worked out the kinks and we knew, you know, who our client was, how to service them, what they need. So by the time COVID hit, we were really ready to scale quickly. And we have.
How much of an increase in your business has it been over the last, you know, 7-8 months? Has it doubled? Has it tripled? Have you expanded?
I would say that it has. Without having numbers, I'm going to kind of pull this out of the air, but just based on, you know, I know our numbers fairly well. I think it's probably increased anywhere between 25 to 50%. So it hasn't necessarily doubled, but every month we are seeing record-breaking months. And so I think by the end of the year, I think we can effectively say we've doubled. And I will say, just like everybody, you know, you mentioned balance and stress, and the reality is, yes, it's stress just living life and trying to balance kids and virtual learning, but then not to mention, like, hey, there's a global pandemic happening in the background and who knows what's going to happen. And so, you know, during the true quarantine, which we call mid-March to mid-April, maybe May, we didn't sign a client. It was dead. Wow. And I joked that I had a really good knack of getting businesses 2 years before a recession, which I thought was going to happen again. Luckily, we were poised to grow in a recession. And so it worked in our favor. But yeah, it really has shown that this flexible staffing and recession-proofing your business is just so important, you know, no matter where the economy is at.
And we're going to talk about the whole recession-proofing your business. Speaking of your increase in your sales that you had, again, now, I know you mentioned just a moment ago, you know, sales were down. I think many of us experienced that lull that happened, but I'm glad. So congratulations that you're definitely, you know, in the black, as they say. Yes. So, but you know, for small businesses, and I'm interested in you describing, like, what type of businesses would benefit and how would you describe using these kind of small remote teams to help advance the bottom line for an organization. So if you could describe what they look like and how do you help them advance their bottom line?
Absolutely. Great question. So I think the best business that we've seen be successful with kind of this remote teams, gig workers, are going to be service-based businesses. Most service-based businesses at this point are on some kind of cloud platform. And so they don't have to be sitting at a desktop working from a software directly and, you know, in a desktop. So that would indicate, you know, are you a good client? Service industries are typically very good. In terms of how you use different gig workers, it's going to depend on what stage your business in. So if you're first starting out and you've kind of been doing it all, you're servicing a client, you're also getting, you know, you're generating leads, doing the sales call, servicing a client, billing your client, you get a point where there's just not enough hours in the day. So the first thing people typically let go of is going to be something like invoicing. So, hey, now that I can't really give up sales and I can't really give up servicing a client yet, but I can give up, like, once I'm done invoicing correctly. So maybe they hand off invoicing at first and that person might work for them an hour a week, maybe 5 hours a week. And then it grows because the more you do work, the more you invoice, right? And then the next thing might be what we kind of call our silver bullet role. It's an operations coordinator. That's the most common thing that people don't even know to ask for, which is going to be, you know, Tiana, let's say you're servicing clients and you've gotten a yes from your lead. So you're, you know, you're converting them to a client and you send out an agreement. Your operations coordinator would send out the agreement, preferably through an electronic signature platform, make sure they've signed. So, you know, you don't have to worry, Tiana, to follow up to make sure they've signed. They follow up with the client, make sure they signed, create a folder in your cloud document system, put everything in there, put them into your QuickBooks so you can bill them. Maybe you have their credit card information and putting it into your processor. So really handling all the little details that come with bringing on a client before you even service them. And so that way you can just go to your next yes and your next yes and your next yes, just knowing that as soon as you get a yes from a lead, that it's taken care of through your operations coordinator. So that's the role we source the most because it's such an easy transition.
Right. And would this be one person or multiple people? essentially.
Well, the operations coordinator would be one person.
Would someone take on the role? So again, as you're using these, you know, kind of fractional remote teams, are they teams of people that you would assign to help the business? Like, for example, that operations coordinator would be one person, a person mm-hmm. doing the invoicing would be another person, or would it be wrapped up into one individual?
No, it would be assigned to different people. And what you've described as wrapping up into one, oftentimes business owners will come to me saying, I've hired 10 people in this role and none of them work out. And I say, well, let's go through. What are you asking them to do? Well, I want them to run my social media and I want them to be good with my customers and I want them to balance my books. And you've just described for people with different skill sets. And so what we do and the luxury of what we have is that we have this amazing network of team members where one person can just handle your invoicing, your bookkeeping because they're QuickBooks certified. All you pay for them to be is an hour a day. And then you have an operations coordinator who knows CRMs, can clean it up, set it up, make sure it's run properly, make sure all your software is integrated and talking to each other. And that's 2 hours a day. And so now all of a sudden you've have all these amazing skill sets and team members, but you don't have the fixed expense of having three team members, 8 hours a day or 4 hours a day. It's truly fractional to wherever your business is.
So what's running through my mind now is how come I haven't met you sooner? and when we're going to talk offline, because this, and especially again, for any business, now I've been in business for 10 years and, you know, we've grown year by year, but absolutely as your business evolves, as your business grows and things change and the way you source clients and things like that, it's always a good idea to, you know, reevaluate the processes and the tools that you're using. So I think this will be good for anyone who's in that space right now. So I do want to talk about the recession proofing your business. But before we go there, because I know we talked about small businesses, I think ideally, but is this a service that could also be weaved into a larger organization, into a corporate culture, into, you know, working with bigger companies? Is that something that you also do?
Absolutely. We do overflow work quite frequently. So what happens with larger companies is they get to this point where their current staff is just run ragged. They have way too much to do, not enough hours. Maybe they're incurring overtime because of that, but they're not quite ready to bring on an additional head. And this is when my HR cap comes on, right? Because you need a head rec, but you're not ready. You don't have enough income to support a new head. And so you tend to just run your current team to the where they don't have any energy left. They're no longer happy working for you because they're exhausted all the time and you're too cheap to hire someone else, right? That just happens. And so what we can do is come in and say, well, let's figure out what tasks can we just routinely offboard off of, you know, your current team. Maybe if it's an attorney and you just need someone calling and getting medical requests because your paralegal doesn't have time to call and follow up on all those medical requests. Let's just do that. And so maybe that's 5 hours a week or 10 hours a week, and that's it. So we often fit into larger organizations from an overflow standpoint.
And I like that you said offboard, because we often hear the term onboard, but what tasks can be offboarded? And I want to pause because if companies, because this is a show ideally designed, and we've had business owners on, small business owners, entrepreneurs, and large organization CEOs, HR representatives. And so there may be some listeners that are in this corporate space. And so I want to pause because if she just described a couple of things, if you're incurring overtime, if you have exhausted staff, okay, that's feeling a bit overwhelmed, and perhaps you recognize this, but you're not ready to bring on a full-time employee, those could be signs where you may want to consider this particular service. Again, looking at what tasks can be offboarded. So I just wanted to pause there because this is, again, a good opportunity to evaluate where we are and what we look like. So these individuals, so they're not full-time employees. Would they then be considered part-time? Were they gig workers? So are they 1099 employees? How are they categorized for the benefit of, let's say, a corporate organization?
So a corporate organization they get an invoice from us. So we're just a vendor. We're an expense on their line item. So they don't have to send out 1099s. They don't have to send out W-2s. They write a check, they get our W-9, and then we're done. It's just as if they were paying someone to come and stock their coffee room, right? It's just a vendor and an expense item.
When you said nimble, you really did mean nimble, didn't you?
I did. I mean, try to take the pain out of employment, and we try to make it to where, you know, our clients aren't paying for, you know, people on Facebook or water cooler talk. And we're just talking about the client advantage of having a gig workforce. We haven't even touched on the benefit that our team members get from having this lifestyle as well. So it really does make sense for both sides of the coin.
What have you seen? Let's talk about that for a moment before we transition to, you know, the recession proof. What have you seen as some really key benefits for those workers?
Well, I can tell you the majority of the people that work with us are women who may have waited longer in their career to have kids, had kids, and then said, I'm just not ready to go back yet. And I have a brain I want to use, and I have skills I don't want to get dull, and I want to work 3, 4, 6 hours a day while my kids are at school or napping or whatever. And so we tap that workforce. There's just not a shortage of incredibly intelligent women who also want to earn an additional income for their family. So candidly, Tiana, we're not even pulling from the same candidate pool as most of these large organizations or small businesses, because these people aren't looking for full-time roles. They're looking for something that fits into their lifestyle. And honestly, the more we get into remote working, and just we see millennials hitting the workforce, they want flexibility. They want balance. And so that's what we're giving our team members, and that's what we're giving to our clients as well.
And are you finding that your supportive team is coming through? Is it global? Is it more domestic? Is it a cross between both? I met someone virtually a few years ago, and he was on my podcast early on, Liz, and we talked about his unconventional workforce, and he recruited people from all over the country, in different countries, I should say, and was relatively successful doing that. So do you have a pool of individuals global as well, or more domestic in the United States?
We're 100% domestic in the United States. And we have a couple of reasons for that. I mean, there, I will say global and offshore has its place and definitely its benefit. It's just not what we niche in. So it's funny. I actually had a sales call this week with somebody who is very similar to who you just described. He has a workforce. He has people in India, Philippines, Chile. And he came to us because he said, I need someone US-based who can help me almost be a partner. So creatively think as well as critically think and help manage my teams. And so we're bringing somebody in who can help him manage his workforce, who is all over the world, but essentially kind of act like a peer, if that makes sense. And that way he's leveraging offshore prices, but he's managing it with somebody domestic who can kind of help him get where he needs to go.
Well, that's great. Again, I'm listening and hoping that there are people that are also finding a linkage between how they're running their business. Because initially I'm thinking, okay, yeah, this could, you know, small businesses, but you just described, you know, small businesses locally. You just described large corporations. You described if you have a global business, how this could impact. So I think this could essentially be a great service for a multitude of individuals. And here, when you describe flexibility for your gig workers, that's something I think a lot of people have been telling us for a long time. Hey, I want more flexibility. I want more flexibility. You being in HR, I'm sure that you've come across that, you know, in your career. And so it's not a new concept, but I love that the gig workers are being given that flexibility. Now, early on in my career, when I started, Liz, my business, I was laid off. So it was interesting when you were describing about the recession. I too was struggling during the recession, a really cushy job, nice position as a regional manager in a financial institution. And then the recession hit, they had some layoffs. And guess what? I was in one of them. And then that was essentially the catalyst that helped me launch my business. But I certainly would have appreciated some insight into, well, how could I avoid being hit by another recession in the future? So describe the key to being recession-proof or recession-proofing your business. I think this is going to help so many people. So describe that for us. And you have a specific mentality or mindset that you allude to. So I want you to talk about that.
When I say recession-proof your business, to me, the key to doing that is directly tying your expense to your revenue. So often we think in business, okay, I have these fixed expenses, and some of those are going to be, you know, a rent for a building, maybe your co-working space, maybe you're renting an entire building or a floor. So that's typically a fixed expense. Staffing is almost always a fixed expense, right? You're saying, okay, you know, to keep this person happy and onboarded with me, retention, I have to keep them for 20 hours a week or 40 hours a week. That's the traditional way of looking at employees. Some of that might be software, right? So anything that you just see is recurring, fixed, regardless, it doesn't go up or down with how much revenue you coming in the door. So then you go, okay, well, these are my expenses. Now I need to make sure my revenue covers my expenses. And then I hope there's enough for me to have some profit, right? Mm-hmm. So the way we approach it is, if you have variable income, which if you're a small business owner, and candidly, if you're a business owner of a mid-size or a large corporation, your revenue is variable. You know, that's just how it is. You can't necessarily always predict what's coming in the door. We think you should tie a direct line to revenue and expenses. And the biggest expense being staffing should be that. So the idea is, let's say you're a service-based company and you're seeing a spike in business. Well, your labor is going to naturally spike as well. And that's good. You want it to be reflected. But then business is a little slow. Maybe you go through, I don't know, a global pandemic and everything shuts down for 8 weeks. You don't have a lot of business coming in, so your staffing should be low as well. And when you have that, you are recession-proofing your business because you don't have anything that you're continuing to pay at a high rate when your revenue is low. And so when you have a remote staff, not only are you covering your staff and it's directly reflected with your revenue, you're also reducing your physical imprint. So now you don't have to have an office with three cubicles. Maybe you work out of your home or you have a co-working space, you have one office instead of three offices. So you're slowly reducing your brick and mortar and all overhead expense.
Do you help your clients with this process when you bring them on? Like, is it part of your onboarding, or when you begin to work with someone new, do you talk to them about not only the service that they request, but kind of walk them through how to navigate this? Or is it a service that you provide under the accounting or bookkeeping umbrella?
No, that's part of our strategy session. Our sales process is very consultative in nature. A lot of people come to us and they have no idea what to outsource. And I just go through what are your pain points? What's keeping you from earning more revenue? If you did this one thing the most, what would make your revenue skyrocket? And so that comes through, and that's how we create kind of like an outsourcing list, if you will, or job description. But then we go, you know, what are you spending money on that you don't have to? Like, let's shift that to good tech. Let's shift that to technology. Let's shift that to staffing. You know, I literally, you know, had a lead once that said, well, I'm out looking for, you know, corporate commercial space so I could have a place where my receptionist can sit. And I was like, don't sign any paperwork. He's like, I never go in the office, but I'm going to go spend, you know, $1,100 a month just so I can have a place for her to work. And so it's just really rethinking all of that. And we challenge people to do that during our strategy sessions.
Well, again, it sounds like you had ironed out the kinks a couple of years before the pandemic, or you've at least put this into practice. And so it sounds like you have a good hold on and a good pulse on what works for these, not only small businesses, but even the corporations, which again, I really like, because, you know, I hadn't even considered that. Yeah, that is an opportunity, you know, outsourcing or, you know, offboarding certain tasks and things like that. So for the smaller business, for the larger business, for the gig worker, for someone who wants more of a flexible schedule, for someone looking for, you know, again, nimble solutions, if people wanted to work with your organization, Boson, if they wanted to get a hold of you, if they wanted to say, you know, I want to get one of those strategic sessions that you have, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, we'd love for you to come look at our website. Our website is www.bosonsolutions.com. There's a million places for you to sit, get started, or reach out to us. And, you know, we'll reach out immediately. You can book something on my calendar and we can just go through and see if it's a good fit. You know, if nothing else, you walk away knowing what you can hand off to somebody. Even if you don't use my company, you might find somebody that's a good fit that you already know. So you definitely don't lose anything. You get some unique insights into your business after our strategy sessions. If anybody who's listening today wants to come and talk, you know, we'd love to do that for free, as well as if you were to move forward, we'd love to give you, you know, half off an onboarding fee that we typically charge. So we'd love to help anybody listening.
So mention the show, make sure you've listened and mention the show. And it sounds like you'll get a half off, 50% off to talk about what particular strategy might work for your business. And I visited the site. There's a really nice introduction video that Liz does, a very personal video. So you should go there, watch it. And there's some information on the website and a place where you can actually input your information as well. So I've enjoyed this again. I was looking forward to it because I was checking out the site and I was like, ooh, this looks like some services that I might need for myself. So I was being a little stingy there. But yes, for our listeners, absolutely. I'm sure they also walked away with some golden nuggets. And also, please, you know, share this with whoever. As you listen to it, I think a good gift is to share it. Now, before I go, before I leave you, Liz, I'm going to ask you, because I do ask my guests this question when I remember to ask them, but it is my website and something I practice is there's no limit to your success. And so I'm just going to very simply ask you, when you hear no limit to your success, what does that mean to you? Does it give you a feeling? What does it mean to you? Very short and sweet.
I think it means that you need to be intentional about what you determine success to be. And so if that means that you have increased your profit by 300% in 2 years, great. If it's creating balance in your life and spending more time with loved ones, great. To just understand what success means to you and then go get it.
Love it. And I think that's a good note to transition. And so, Liz, thank you so much for being a guest on our show today. I want to wish you much success with your business at Bosun. And again, I know it was a part of a tragedy that started early on. We'll call it, you know, a family tragedy early on, but I do believe it's birthed something beautiful. I think your father would be proud of what you've been able to do in your business. And I hope that you're proud as well. I would love for people to connect. So that's bosunsolutions.com. And that's B and then O and then sun. So like the sun in the sky. And check it out. Reach out to Liz and her team if you see it beneficial to work with her. Before we leave, I always like to end with this quote. Everyone wants to succeed, but not everyone is willing to do the work. If you are willing, I will help you do your work. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Like a Real Boss podcast with Tiana Sanchez. We are your ambassador, helping you go from good to great to extraordinary. To learn more about awesome offers, training programs, books, and more, head over to www.nolimittoyoursuccess.com. Until next time.